Chapter 6. We got away from that destroyer, and I pulled together Chotek and the senior staff so Adams could tell her theory of how the Theranin had been waiting for us at Bravo. Everyone slapped their foreheads after they understood the Theranin needed only logic and not magic to anticipate our arrival at Bravo, and even Chotek congratulated Adams on her intelligence. People were relieved to hear the Theranin could not actually predict our movements. Then, I rained on the parade by mentioning that the Theranin would be locking up all conduits in the sector now they knew someone was searching for them. Being a buzzkill wasn't my intention, I just didn't want people to get their hopes up. With us running for our lives, maybe I should have held my bad news for later. 6 hours later, I was back in my office, avoiding coffee because all it did was make my mouth dry, and the caffeine wasn't helping me stay alert. Joe, we are in trouble. Big trouble. I know that, Skippy, I responded distractedly, focused on my laptop. The display mirrored the main bridge display, allowing me to fret over what the command crew was doing without me hovering over their shoulders. At any moment I knew a cluster of dots could appear on the display, announcing the gamma-ray bursts of Theranin ships jumping in to hunt the Flying Dutchman. One corner of the display showed the progress of recharging the jump drive capacitors. We had enough reserve power for a modest jump right then. According to the timer, it would take 7 hours to full charge our partially burned-out capacitors, and I knew that was never going to happen. No way could we hang dead in space for 7 hours with an entire task force chasing us. When are we ever not in trouble? No, I mean, we are in more trouble than you realize, Skippy warned. I just completed decrypting a transmission that I intercepted before our second-to-last jump. Sorry it took so long. This is a case where my reduced capacity directly affects my abilities. What I learned is extremely alarming. The Theranin are calling in 2 additional task forces to pursue us.
2 whole task forces? I gasped.
How many ships is that?
60 additional warships, at least. That doesn't count support vessels. The Theranin are taking this very, very seriously.
60 more freaking ships to hunt us?
At least 60 ships.
The communication I intercepted was from Theranin Military Command to the squadron we encountered. It indicates even more ships can be made available if needed. Tracking the Flying Dutchman is a top priority. Even worse, wait. How can those little green MFers have 60 ships available? I demanded. The Giraptor just gave the Theranin a major ass-whipping. With our help.
He chuckled nervously. This is another case of where the law of unintended consequences is biting us in the ass. Yes, the Theranin did get their butts kicked by the Giraptor, and, as you know, that caused problems on our last mission.
He meant the weakened state of the Giraptor fleet had caused those little assholes to encourage the Kristang Fire Dragon clan to sweeten their offer to the Ruhar. That deal was for the Ruhar to send a ship to Earth, leaving us with no option but to spark a civil war between Kristang clans.
Yeah, I remember. I also remember you told us there would be no downside to us helping the Giraptor against the Theranin.
Yes, that is why they are called unintended consequences. Duh. Damn, you are super dense sometimes.
I slapped my forehead and clenched a fist to suppress an urge to throw the beer can out an airlock.
What went wrong this time?
Well, nothing new went wrong. It's all the same crap, Joe. I won't bore you with the details. A full strategic analysis from Theranin Fleet Command is available on your laptop if you want to read it later. Basically, their recent losses have persuaded Theranin leadership to reach a wide-ranging ceasefire with the Giraptor. Theranin ships have pulled back and surrendered key areas of this sector and the adjacent sector toward the rim of the galaxy. Giving up that territory has been deeply humiliating to the Theranin and hurt their standing with the Maxolks. The Giraptor and Theranin fleets have established a demilitarized zone along their new frontier, extending for almost 3,000 light-years. What all this means to us, Joe, is the Theranin fleet currently is not engaged in offensive operations, and they have been able to concentrate their defense forces over a smaller area. While the mystery of a strange star carrier may have been a minor curiosity to a wartime fleet, we have now moved considerably up the Theranin priority list.
Why?
Come on. The Theranin have got to be frightened their ceasefire with the Giraptor could collapse at any moment.
No, they are not. The Theranin have access to intelligence from the Maxolks,
So they know high-level officials and the Jarraptha government have wagered significant sums that the ceasefire will hold for at least 7 months, counting in human time.
Shit.
Those beetles bet on whether they will cheat on their own freaking ceasefire agreement?
Oh, of course they did. That is juicy action no Jarraptha could resist.
Technically, they are also wagering on whether the Tharanan will violate the agreement, but both sides know it is safe to assume the Tharanan fleet will not be capable of launching a major attack for a year or more. The bottom line is, the Tharanan fleet is not greatly concerned about an imminent threat from the Jarraptha, so they have time for other activities, like keeping the Krystang civil war from spreading too far, repair and maintenance of their ships and orbital defense platforms, and chasing down the mystery of a rogue Tharanan star carrier.
You mean if we had not helped the Jarraptha kick their little green asses, the Tharanan would be too busy to be hunting us? We screwed ourselves again?
Yep. Most likely, anyway. Joe, there are two reasons why the Tharanan are committing major resources to capture this ship. First, the Tharanan strongly suspect the Bosphorak passed intel to the Jarraptha about the sneak attack on the Glark system, and that intel is why 3 Tharanan task forces were ambushed and destroyed. The Tharanan have been tracking reports of strange incidents involving a rogue star carrier that appears to be Tharanan in origin, and they have noted those incidents usually involve action against the interests of the Tharanan. After we got ambushed by that squadron of Tharanan destroyers during our second mission, I told you I intercepted communications in which the Tharanan accused the Krystang of hijacking a star carrier 17 years ago. The Krystang denied the whole thing, of course, but the Tharanan were not convinced. Then, as time went on and the Tharanan continued to get vague reports of a rogue star carrier, their suspicions turned away from the Krystang, because it is extremely unlikely the lizards could keep a Tharanan starship flying for long without access to technical support and spare parts. The Tharanan now suspect the rogue star carrier was hijacked by the Bosphorak, or is actually a disguised Bosphorak ship. When the Tharanan brought their suspicions to the Maxalts, the Bosphorak dismissed the idea in very harsh language that left the Tharanan enraged.
Their little green feelings got hurt?
Very much.
Don't gloat about it, Joe. The Tharanan are very much pissed off and determined to prove the Bosphorak are lying, particularly now that the defeats suffered by the Tharanan have weakened their position within the Maxalts coalition.
Okay. The Tharanan have good reasons to capture this ship. We knew that already. We will jump away and keep running. Keep clear of Tharanan ships. No different from what we've been doing since we boarded this ship, I said unhappily. Kind of amazed that I could be talking so calmly about a cruel species of advanced beings who would love to tear my ship apart. Had I faced so many terrible threats that I was now numb to them?
Why do you now say we are in big trouble?
Because of the second reason the Tharanan are using a significant part of the fleet to hunt us. The Maxalts asked them to.
What?
Shit, when did that happen?
Shortly after the Tharanan accused the Bosphorak of passing intel to the Jarraptha.
The Maxalts never thought the Bosphorak were involved. They think the failure of the Tharanan attempted sneak attack on Glark was due to poor communication security by the Tharanan. Unfortunately for us, in the data provided by the Tharanan for their claim against the Bosphorak, they included details of reports about a rogue star carrier, and that got the attention of the Maxalts. Remember I told you we had to be careful about screwing with wormholes because eventually someone was going to notice?
Oh, shit. I could feel blood draining from my face.
Yeah, oh shit is an appropriate response. So far, the Maxalts have not connected anomalous wormhole behavior with humans or Earth. They are not yet suspicious, merely alarmed and curious that wormholes were acting strangely. But now that they have matched up their data about odd wormhole behavior with the Tharanan data about a rogue star carrier, the Maxalts are beginning to get suspicious.
That is bad news. I swallowed hard because I was feeling a twinge of upset stomach, and that wasn't because I drank too much coffee.
Bad news indeed. It is very bad news for us right now because the Maxalts have offered to help the Tharanan capture this ship. Joe. His avatar gestured to my laptop display, which now showed a star map with a yellow banana icon for the Flying Dutchman in the center. There are only 4 Elder wormholes within our theoretical range, and one of those is so far away, one wormhole icon in the display glowed red, that I would most likely hit 0 hour before we got there, assuming nothing aboard the ship breaks after that many jumps. So really, we have only 3 wormholes to choose from. What the Maxalts have offered to do, and what they have ordered the Bosphorak to assist with,
is to blockade two of the wormholes. Two wormhole icons now blinked purple.
Wait, I said skeptically. They can do that?
They can. I remember way back, maybe before we boarded the Dutchman, I asked whether wormholes had battle stations in front of them to control access.
Yes, you suggested something stupid like a Death Star.
That's not the point, Skippy. You told me it is impossible to block access to a wormhole because they jump around.
Blockading a wormhole is possible, but very difficult. To continuously cover all endpoints requires a large fleet of ships. No single ship can jump far or fast enough to keep up with the wormhole's movements. Even with a fleet of ships, a blockade is a short-term action. The ships wear out quickly from constantly jumping to their next assigned position in the blockade. In this case, the Max Hulks and Bosphorak are dedicating a large number of ships to blockade two of those wormholes temporarily.
Really, all they want to do is make it more difficult for us to go through those wormholes, so we will try going through the other wormhole instead. The two wormholes blockaded by the Max Hulks lead toward Bosphorak territory close to the Rindaloo Coalition, and the Max Hulks are afraid we might get away in that direction. The other wormhole leads deeper into Theranan territory, which is where we actually want to go, but they don't know that.
The Max Hulks are trying to herd us toward the Theranan, so the Theranan can trap us and capture the ship.
Got it.
Damn. Okay. Will we be able to sneak through that other wormhole, or do the Theranan have that one blockaded also?
Well, they don't have it blockaded yet. The message stated the Theranan are rushing to get fleet assets in position for a partial blockade of the wormhole, but their ships are scattered. If we change course now to head straight toward that wormhole at maximum speed, we have a chance to go through before they can block our path. Don't ask me to calculate the odds, I don't have enough data.
I switched my laptop display back to show the bridge feed. The little indicator in the corner showed we needed another 63 minutes of charging the capacitors before we could jump.
Okay, I sighed, feeling my stomach churning. I'll talk with Jotek.
Faced with the awful facts, Jotek agreed to change plans and run for the other wormhole. Because our altered course was not detected by the pursuing Theranan ships for nearly a whole day, Skippy had time to partially retune the jump drive, and our entire crew got 7 solid hours of sleep.
7 hours wasn't enough to make up for the sleep we'd lost, but damn, I felt tremendously better.
After flying across light years, we jumped in 6 light minutes from the spot where the wormhole was scheduled to emerge. That distance was chosen by Skippy because it was far enough away to protect us from immediate danger, if there were Theranan ships guarding the wormhole, and close enough for us to scan the area relatively quickly. Because the gamma-ray burst of our inbound jump acted like a beacon to give away our position to any ships in the area, there was no additional risk in our using active sensors, so we powered up the sensor array and sent powerful pulses to sweep the entire area. If a ship or multiple ships were parked in front of the wormhole, we could not risk attempting to go through. The greatest danger to us was if ships were hanging stealthily in space a short distance away from the wormhole, ready to perform a short jump, timed for them to arrive as soon as the wormhole emerged. Due to the physics involved, the Flying Dutchman would be briefly defenseless and nearly blind after emerging from a jump, so we had to be certain the area was clear before committing ourselves to a final jump in front of the wormhole. The wormhole was scheduled to shift position and emerge within 24 minutes, and we had the Dutchman moving at high speed through normal space in the direction that would take us through the wormhole quickly, even without the normal space engines providing additional thrust. If we could successfully jump in near the wormhole, our momentum would carry us through the Elder Wormhole, and we would come through the other end 800 light-years away, even if enemy weapons fire disabled our limping star carrier. Unfortunately, that wasn't good enough security for either Hans Chotek or myself. If the Dutchman was disabled, enemy ships could follow us through the wormhole and easily capture us, and we could not take that risk. The self-destruct nukes were warmed up and ready to give a final, futile gesture of defiance to enemy ships if they got too close. Kind of a multi-megaton middle-finger salute. My original idea had been for us to jump in so far from the wormhole that our gamma rays would not reach the wormhole until after it had shut down and moved to the next position along its endless route. I wanted us to perform another jump just before the wormhole shut down so we could go through and have the wormhole shut down behind us before enemy ships would react and follow us. Skippy had shot down that idea,
explaining that the time a wormhole shuts down can vary by up to 81 seconds. Just before a wormhole shuts down, it sends out a pulse to warn ships away, but we would not be able to predict when the wormhole would blink out on us. If we jumped in and the wormhole had already closed, we could very well be trapped in an enemy damping field. Then I had the genius idea to time our jump so that we popped into position just before the wormhole opened, giving enemy ships no time to react before we zipped on through. Unfortunately, Skippy shot down that idea by reminding me that we could not predict exactly where the wormhole would emerge. To avoid damaging the fabric of space-time or some nerdy technical shit like that, Skippy tried to explain until he lost patience with me, wormholes shift their position slightly each time they emerge. The shift is not a large distance, but it is a change significant enough that we had to wait for the wormhole to emerge before we could plot a short jump to take us in front of its event horizon. Finally, we could not jump in too close to an open, active wormhole. Its event horizon creates a sort of damping field to prevent a ship's inbound jump wormhole from interfering with the ancient Elder construct. All these safety features built into the wormhole network were no doubt necessary and explained how the network had functioned without maintenance for millions of years, but in my opinion, the Elders had made the stupid things a lot less user-friendly than they could be. If the Elders ever read the scathing review I left on Yelp, they might decide to fix some of their customer service issues. Or not. "Damn it, Joe. I just got return pulses from two ships out there," Skippy declared unhappily. "Jump option Echo," he suggested. "Wait." I saw the two angry red dots glowing on the main bridge display. They were not in front of where the wormhole would be. Our sensor pulses had swept the area where the wormhole would emerge, and it was clear. "Why can't we jump now, debate later, Joe? I strongly urge that we jump now, like now," Skippy declared in a tone that invited no arguments. In the command chair, I nodded, and the pilots pressed the appropriate button to send us on a moderately long jump. Option Echo meant Skippy suggested we not try the next two locations the wormhole was scheduled to emerge, and instead go toward a safer location much farther away. Due to the distances involved and the time required to recharge the drive capacitors between jumps, we could only choose from those three locations. There was no point debating what to do. We had all discussed our situation and options during the long race to the wormhole. "I trusted you on where to jump, Skippy. Now I want some answers. Those two ships you found weren't near the wormhole. In fact," I ran back the main display, "they were behind us. Why couldn't we have waited another few minutes until the wormhole opened and go through?" "Joe, you are still thinking like a ground-pounding grunt and not like a starship captain. You keep forgetting to factor in the slow speed of light. Gather round, children, and Professor Skippy will give you a remedial lesson in space combat maneuvers again. Joe, our sensor pulses detected two large stealth ships roughly 8 light-minutes away from us. That means, by the time our sensor pulses bounced off those ships and returned to us, more than 8 minutes had passed. 8 minutes is a lot of time in space warfare. Those ships could have jumped anywhere in 8 minutes. If there are only two enemy ships here, one of them probably had orders to jump in front of the wormhole when they detected our sensor pulse, and the other would try to jump toward our position and ambush us." Crap, I thought. He is right. One major problem with using active sensors is that an enemy ship detects your sensor pulse and can establish your position long before your sensor pulse has time to slowly crawl all the way back to your ship. A danger ships have to be aware of when using active search is that an enemy ship can use the pulses to fix your position and jump in on top of you before you have any idea other ships are in the area. In our case, the gamma ray burst of our inbound jump had already given away our position, so using active sensors did not add to our level of risk. Okay, you're right, I admitted. Why didn't the Theranon have one of those ships parked in front of the wormhole? I suspect they did not want to scare us away. If we had only scanned the immediate area around the emergence point, we might think this location is safe. Assuming the Theranon commander is reasonably smart, their plan probably was to wait until shortly before the wormhole opens, then jump their ships in front of the event horizon to block our path. That way they could ambush us. Also, and this might be a bit of good news, I think those two ships arrived only a short time before we did. When they arrived, they should have swept the area with a brief active sensor pulse, then gone into stealth to wait for us. Our sensors picked up very faint backscatter of Thurenin-type active sensor pulses bouncing off stray hydrogen molecules. That tells me they initiated an active sensor sweep less than 40 minutes ago.
They beat us here by only 40 freaking minutes, I complained.
Damn it, our luck is for shit today.
If it makes you feel any better, Joe, the fact that we detected only two ships within 8 light minutes gives me hope the Thurenin have not had time to establish a solid blockade yet. So, yes, we had rotten luck here, but we still have a chance to go through this wormhole before the Thurenin can set up a full blockade.
Skippy, it's going to take us over 5 hours to get to the next emergence point. That is plenty of time for the bad guys to plant starships right in front of where we need to go.
I know that, Joe, he answered quietly. Sorry, I know it's not your fault. Physics is not my friend today.
Physics hates you, Joe. You have screwed with the laws of physics too often, like shooting a maser through a micro-wormhole or landing dropships from orbit on a yo-yo string. By now, physics must be totally humiliated at being messed with by a filthy monkey.
That made me smile, which was Skippy's intention.
Could I send it a fruit basket to say I'm sorry?
No. But the law of entropy could use a nice pair of socks, because it is getting cold.
Entropy. Getting cold.
Ha! I chuckled.
I understood that joke.
Any chance those two ships will be following us?
There is always a chance, Joe, but I doubt it. Based on the rough profile I received from the sensor pulses, both of those ships are large, possibly a battlecruiser or battleship.
That is an educated guess, you understand. The sensor pulse can only partially penetrate the enemy stealth fields. Most likely, those ships have orders to blockade that particular emergence point while other ships are assigned to hunt us. I think the Thurenin are throwing ships at this operation as soon as they can get here, whether they are suited to the task or not. Light cruisers and destroyers would be the best ships for use for search and pursuit, with slower and heavier ships best assigned to blockade a static location.
Yeah, that makes sense, I agreed.
For the next two jumps, I stayed on the bridge until I was absolutely sure no ships from the wormhole location had followed us. Those ships certainly would report that a strange ship had jumped in and then quickly jumped away, and with even a single warship covering that emergence point, we had one less option for going through the wormhole. After I relinquished the command chair to Lieutenant Chang, I went to the galley for a snack and brought it to my office. There was a series of reports stacked up in my laptop's inbox, and I especially did not feel like dealing with them right then. With a groan, I set down my water bottle and went to click my email open when the laptop screen went blank, and my office door slid silently closed.
What the?
Joe? We should talk, Skippy announced as his avatar popped to life above my desk. We are in significant trouble.
How is that news?
I picked up the water bottle and guzzled half of it. We are always in one type of trouble or another.
This is big, big trouble, Joe. Like I have no idea how we can get out of this.
I'm very worried. That emergence point we just tried to go through was not the one closest to our original location. I chose it because I thought it was the one that had the best chance to not yet be guarded by Thurenin ships. That emergence point is one of the farthest from any Thurenin fleet bases, so I figured it would be one of the last to be blockaded. Joe, the problem we are facing is simple math. My laptop screen came to life with a 3D star map showing the yellow banana icon for the Flying Dutchman in the center. In glowing blue were emergence points for the wormhole. I am only showing the next 36 emergence points for the wormhole for clarity. From where we are now, we can only reach 7 of those points before they close and move on.
Why 36? I asked.
Partly random, partly because after 20 or so I expect major elements of the Thurenin fleet to arrive.
Ah, got it.
Go on. Sorry I interrupted you.
So we can choose from 7 emergence points right now. We are currently on course for this one.
A glowing icon changed from blue to green.
Now, watch this.
Once we get to the next emergence point, if enemy ships are there, our options shrink dramatically. Blue icons began blinking out until only 8 were left.
Wow, 8? Out of 36?
That seemed like a lot to me.
Yes, Joe. We will have burned time getting to the next point. From there, we will only have 8 locations we can get to before the wormhole there closes.
Shit. And the longer we screw around out here, the more time the Thurenin have to bring in ships to block us,
I stated the obvious. Not just the Renan, Joe. The Theranin will report we have attempted to use this wormhole, and after that information reaches the Maxalts, I expect them to reassign some of their ships here.
That is majorly bad news.
Okay, but nothing changes, right? We keep going and hope this next emergence point is not guarded. If it is, we try one of these other 8.
It's not so easy, Joe. Of those 8, 2 will be at the far edge of our jump capability. If we have even a slight hiccup in the drive, or have to change course to evade pursuit, we will not reach those points before the wormhole changes position. The number is not truly 8, then. It is 4.
Well, how do you figure that?
Because, Joe, 4 of the 8 have no other option if we can't go through in those locations. The remaining 4 each have only a single other option, and 3 of those are considered high risk.
Okay. I stared at my empty coffee cup, wishing I had more.
Our options shrink from 36 to 4. Then to 1.
Correct, he said quietly, and did not even make a smart-ass remark about my poor math skills. That told me how concerned Skippy was, and that frightened me.
Joe, the odds of us successfully getting through the emergence point in front of us is only 28%, and I am fairly confident of that number. If we fail to go through our next destination, our odds drop to 7%. Then basically 0.
0? Come on, Skippy. You told me it is very difficult for even a large fleet to maintain a blockade for a long time. We could just...
Oh, crap.
0 hour.
Yes, Joe. 0 hour. We do not have the option of going dormant and waiting in stealth for years until the Theranin give up. This is... Once again, my fault. If our jump drive was in better condition, or if I were still Skippy the Magnificent rather than Skippy the Meh, we would have a much better chance to escape from this trap.
Nothing we could do about that now, Skippy. I mean, other than what we are already doing.
I also knew that if Skippy was his old self, he could simply command that wormhole to open in a different location that was not on its planned schedule, and we could zip through without the Theranin knowing we were ever there. We had done that many times before.
You, told me all this happy info to cheer me up?
No, Joe. I told you all this because I need you to pull my ass out of the fire. Again.
His voice was almost strangled, telling me how much it pained that arrogant asshole to admit he needed help from a monkey.
Ah, listen, Skippy, if you need someone to check his statistics or something like...
He blew a raspberry.
Dude, please!
His usual pompous snarkiness was right back.
The day I need any meat sack to verify my math, I will let the worm get me and put me out of my misery.
No, Joe, I do not need any sort of logic. I need the exact opposite. I need, we all need, you to engage that disorganized sack of mush in your skull and think of a crazy-ass way to get us out of this mess. The mess I got us into.
Disorganized sack of mush?
Okay, I was being generous, but give me a break. I'm trying to get you to work with me here. If the dumbest beings in the galaxy opened your skull and took a dump in there, it would be smarter than...
This is how you ask for a favor?
I'm new at this, Joe. I'm sending up the bat signal, and I need your help.
Bat signal? Yeah, I always wondered about that. I mean, in like the 1950s, I could see using a searchlight to shine a signal on the clouds, but even then, what happens if it's a clear night, or it's a sunny day, and they need Batman right away? Do they have to wait for nightfall? And does Batman sit up all night looking for a light shining on the clouds? What if he is sitting on the can when...
Joe?
These days, wouldn't they just send him a text or post on his Facebook page or Instagram account? I'm sure Batman could get a burner phone at 7-Eleven, right?
Joe? Although I guess if Batman had a Facebook page, maybe he would waste all his time watching cute videos of baby goats or something.
Joe!
What?
Sorry. Got off the subject there.
You think?
Damn, and you call me absent-minded.
You have to admit I have a point. Some of this superhero stuff makes no sense. Like, does Thor ever use his mighty hammer around the house? He needs to hang a picture of Odin on a wall. And if he's not careful, bam! There goes the wall. And half the city.
Ugh. Skippy was thoroughly disgusted.
Joe,
I will be happy to debate the finer points of nerdness with you another time, okay? Now, pretty please, with sugar on it, will you try to think of a way to escape the Theranon?
Oh, well, since you asked it that way. Oh, thank God, he breathed. If I had to suck up to an ignorant biological trash bag like you for another freaking second, I was going to—
Skippy, it is really best if you stop talking right now.
Understood.
You, got any hints for me?
Like what?
Like a possible way out of our predicament.
Oh, Joe, you dum-dum. If I had any clue how to escape from the Theranon, I would not have to ask you for help.
Okay, okay. I held up my hands. So you have run every possible scenario through your super-duper logic circuit, and you got nothing. That means I need to think of something truly off the wall.
Yes. And please hurry.
I rolled my eyes.